Turning your Bibles to the book of Daniel, chapter 3, I want us to take a short visit to the Valley of Dura, the province of Babylon. Anybody who's studied the book of Daniel knows about the circumstances concerning the young men, the elite young men among the Jews that were escorted to the Babylonian Empire to become pawns. They were to be deprogrammed from their Jewish influence, and they were to be used for their brilliance and for their intellect and their abilities. We know about Daniel and much of the success that he had while he was in Babylonian captivity. He becomes a prominent prophet of the Old Testament, and he still is referred to a lot as we study the New Testament. Those of us that have been going through the book of Revelation, we've referenced some of the things that took place in the book of Daniel. And much of his prophecy today is still intriguing to most students of Scripture. Daniel is not the only young man that was in Babylonian captivity. There were other young Jews that were just as devout, just as dedicated to Jehovah God as Daniel was. Now, Daniel prayed three times a day, received visions and interpreted prophecy and dreams of kings and was a unique man. But there were some other unique men that also lived in that day. And these three men are well known to most of us. And I don't know how long it's been since I've preached on Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Most of us that have grown up in church, we know about what took place in the Valley of Dura, the province of Babylon, how that the king had erected this on this large pedestal, a statue of gold 90 feet high and 9 feet wide. And upon its dedication, everybody was to bow down and worship this image of Nebuchadnezzar. I believe it was just a duplicate of his dream that he had, that Daniel had actually interpreted. And Daniel told him that he represented the gold head of that image, but he wanted to be the whole image. And so he erected this entire image in this valley in the province of Babylon and called on everybody. Actually, he legislated a law that everybody was to fall down and worship. As we read through this chapter, we read about the fiery furnace and also a decree, a flip-flop. He went from everybody falling down and worshiping the image to anybody who doesn't worship the true God or acknowledge the true God, Jehovah, that their house would be destroyed, it'd become a dunghill, I believe he says. And if anybody speaks amiss against God, the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, he said they'd be cut to pieces and their house would be a dunghill. So we have a lot of circumstances that take place in this third chapter of Daniel. And I want to read a few of these things because these same circumstances prevail in our society today. We have those that are dedicated. We have those that are not dedicated. We have people that conform to whatever circumstance they find themselves in, as long as it's convenient, as long as it doesn't cause them difficulty, they'll conform. We've got a lot of conformers. We also have those people like the Chaldeans that informed the king concerning these Jews that would not conform. We have a lot of informers today, tattlers. I don't know how it is for you, but I just don't like to be around people that's constantly putting down others. I don't like being around those people. I'm assuming that when I'm absent from their presence, they're also putting me down. Right? People who's just constantly tattling on others and putting down others. Actually, the Bible speaks against that. But these Chaldeans, they were tattling because they were envious of the position that these three young Jews had been elevated to. There's a lot of things that's done out of envy and strife. And people, when we do things out of envy and strife, the New Testament tells us it's wrong. It's just wrong. But these men, in their dedication and their loyalty to God, believing in the Lord and having faith transformed not only Babylon, but I think it ultimately transformed the Jewish nation where they never went back to idolatry. Now, let's begin reading in verse 1. Let's read from the third chapter of Daniel and see if we can't notice these three kinds of people that are still in our world today. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, whose weight was 80 cubits and whose breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent together the princes, the governors and the captains and the judges and the treasurers and the counselors, the sheriffs and all the rulers of the province to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Then the princes of the governors and the captains and the judges and the treasurers and the counselors and the sheriffs and all the rulers of the province were gathered together under the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then a herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimers, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace." Therefore, at that time, when all the people had heard the sound of the cornets, the flutes, the harps, the sackbut, the psaltery, and all kinds of music, and all the people, the nations, the language, fell down and worshiped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. You know, it amazes me how quickly people respond to falsehoods. I'm amazed that people are so easily conformed when there's inconvenience in their life. I become amazed at how quickly Christians conform to this world. I don't know if it bothers you, but it should bother the church, that many of the Christians of today will easily conform to many of the falsehoods and many of the lies that are being told in the world today. We notice here that Nebuchadnezzar was... declaring that everybody should fall down and worship this image. Earlier, when Daniel had interpreted his dream in Daniel chapter 2, verse 47, notice what he said in that passage. He said of a truth, when Daniel had interpreted the dream, he said that this God that Daniel had served was the true God. He said that your God, O Daniel, is a God of gods and the Lord of kings and a revealer of secrets, seeing that thou couldest reveal this secret. I guess you might say that Nebuchadnezzar was somewhat unpredictable. The chapter earlier, he's saying Daniel's God is the true God of all gods, and now he's asking people to bow down and worship a false god. He's one of the top 10 flip-flopper politicians in the world. Nebuchadnezzar was. He flip-flopped. He went from one extreme to the other. But notice how easily these people conformed. They were also aware of Daniel. They were aware of what Daniel did. They were aware of what Nebuchadnezzar had said in the second chapter. But notice how quickly they conformed. We read in the book of Romans chapter 12, verse 1. That we're not to conform to this world, but we are to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, that we might prove what is the good and the acceptable will of God. You know what the great enemy of renewing and transforming is? Conforming. The church is not to conform to this world. Now, we like the big parades. We like to be involved, and we get enthralled with some of these things that some of the stencil and some of these things of the world. But listen, the church is to stay on target. We are to stay on message. We are to preach the gospel. We're not to be conformed to this world. The church is to be an institution that teaches and preaches the truth. How quickly people conform. Conform to the world. I believe the church and church people ought to be nonconformists. Amen. Amen. We should not be influenced by the philosophies of this world. I'm amazed at how many parents are influenced by philosophical approaches to raising their children rather than the Word of God. That scares me. Doesn't it scare you? We are duty bound according to the Word of God to take care of our parents as they get older. We are to honor our fathers and mothers. It's one of the commandments that God had given us. And there's no age respecting that. Even Jesus taught that when he was dealing with the Pharisees and the Sadducees, how that they had perverted the law concerning the care of a family member and the care of a parent or a loved one. And, you know, we have a tendency to conform to the way the world practices rather than what the Word of God teaches. And it's wrong. I'm just telling you, it's wrong. We need Christians today that will stand up for the truth. We need to stand steadfast and unmovable and always abounding in the work of the Lord, because we know that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. We have way too many people who consent and conform to the world. Oh, you know, you might say, well, I don't have a great big statue out in my yard. There's not a great big statue. I'm not there in that valley or Providence of Babylon. I'm not at Dura. I don't see a large statue. But every one of us on a daily basis are called upon. We hear the music and we're called upon to bow down to one of the philosophies or the teachings of the world. And people, I'm trying to encourage you this morning to resist. Resist. Way too many people that conform. You know why we can't conform to the world? Because the world lies in wickedness. We read in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 2 that there's a course of this world, and we're not to get on the courses of this world. We're to stay on the course that leads us to Christ. We're to follow Jesus and not the masses. I know a lot of people today, they say, well, if a million people believe it's right, it must be right. No! Amen. If a million people believe it, doesn't make it true. Truth is not determined by the masses. The truth is determined by the Word of God. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were not a majority. They were a minority. And I believe the church today is a minority. We read in Exodus chapter 23 and verse 2. In Exodus it says, thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil. Not follow a multitude to do evil. Now there's comfort in numbers. Right? It's easy just to go with the flow. Young people, let me encourage you. Stay true to the values that you have been brought up under. Stay true to your God. These young men, they were willing to stay true to the teachings of God's Word and the teachings that they had been brought up under. You need to stay true to the teachings of your family. And though the world will try to get you to sin, if the sinner tries to get you to sin, consent not. Consent not. Consent not. Today, right and wrong is being determined by the masses. Do you realize God's people's always been a minority? We're to preach that the world needs to be saved. Amen. That people need to be delivered from the world. What did John say? Love not the world, neither the things in the world. If a man love the world, the love of the Father is what? not in him. God's love is nowhere around a person who loves the world. Now, that's not talking about the tangible world. It's talking about the philosophies of the world, the ways of the world. The way of the world is eat, drink, and be merry. To have no conviction concerning the Creator. Listen, my friend, we ought to walk daily convicted about our Creator and Him conscious of our lives. We need to be daily walking in the center of His will and concerned about Him being pleased with our lives. If a sinner entices you, don't consent. Actually, the Bible teaches that Christians should do as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did, and we ought to witness against them. We should say that's wrong. Now, you won't be very popular around the water cooler if you go against the popular political positions of our day. You won't be popular if you go against those things that are being said to be okay today. You won't be popular if you take a stand against abortion. But we should. Yeah. You won't be popular if you stand up. You know, we sometimes say, well, I'll be glad to die for the Lord and go into the fiery furnace. But you have somebody making fun of you and then you cave in. Oh, come on. They mocked our Lord. Listen, the world does not understand us. We are to witness against them. Behold, what manner of love the Father bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. John said, the world kneweth him not. And he goes on and says, the world will not understand you either. The world did not understand Jesus dying on a cross for their sins, and the world doesn't understand our stand in the gospel today. We're to still stand. And having done all to stand, let's stand. Amen. Let's stand on those things that are right. Let's stand up for the truth and the power of the gospel. I know it's not popular today to preach the kind of gospel we preach about repentance and about faith. It's not popular today to preach the church doctrine. That's unpopular. People don't like that. You know, it'd be real easy to build a church as long as you didn't have any doctrines. You let people believe whatever they wanted to believe and teach whatever they wanted to teach and have whatever convictions they wanted to have. It'd be easy to build a church, a hodgepodge of church members, you know, just everybody just doing their own thing. But I'll tell you something, that is not the church that Jesus set up. Jesus set up a church with material. People that had been saved by the grace of God, had the Spirit of God in them. He gathered that group together that with scriptural baptism, and they entered into a covenant to do the right thing. Amen. To be committed to the Lord and His teaching, to try to serve the Lord and stand up for what is right. I've never seen so many limp-wristed, conformative kind of churches in all of my life. It's worse now than it was just a few years ago. You know? And we need to take a stand like they did, not conform to the world. Even if it's hard, even if it's difficult. Why? Why? Why should we do this? I'll tell you why. Because Peter tells us in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, we're a peculiar people. We're not supposed to be like the world. We have we're a chosen generation. We're a royal priesthood. We're to show forth. What did he say? We are to show forth the praise of him who has called us out of darkness into this marvelous light. We have the light of God on us. Amen. And we ought to show forth that. All right, well, Satan's been trying to deprogram the church for 2,000 years. Just like he tried to deprogram those young Jews in Babylon. He's been trying to get us to conform. He's trying to cause the church to be like the world. And let me share something with you. When the church looks like the world, it no longer is the church. It's the world. Jesus said, you are not of this world. as I am not of this world, my church will not be of this world. So we have these conformers. All they need is a parade. Somebody sound a little music. You hear a little flute and you fall to your knees. Listen, be stronger than that. Huh? Listen to me. Be stronger than that. Be like these men. Now these, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on the informers, but they deserve a little bit of attention because, let me jump down. I don't want to read the entire chapter. I guess that would take too much time. But notice, there were men that did not fall down. Let me begin here. Let me go back to verse 10. Thou king, you've declared, you've decreed that every man, they should fall down and worship when they hear the sound. And he says in verse 11, and whoso falleth not down and worship, that person should be cast in the burning, fiery furnace. He said, notice these Chaldeans. He says, there were certain Jews, whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon. Notice that in verse 12. Let me point something out. Jealousy doesn't become Christianity. There shouldn't be jealousy in our churches. Amen. It's not a spirit of Christ. You know, we shouldn't be jealous of one another. I want all of you to prosper. I do. You know, I think we should, I want us all to advance the cause of God. The things that God has done for you, the places he has put you, I'm not jealous of that. We should not be jealous of one another. But I'll tell you what, the moment jealousy enters in, you're going to find this kind of shrewdness, like these informers, these Chaldeans say, hey, king, I've got to inform you about this. And listen, the Bible has nothing good to say about tattlers. Nothing good at all. You're looking like James, where it talks about tattlers being a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways. You look in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 13. It implies that they're idle. They're wandering around from house to house. And he says, but tattlers also and busybodies, speaking things that they ought not. In Proverbs 26 and 20. And I could go through many of the Proverbs, and I can just tell you that the Bible clearly tells us that where there is no wood, there is no fire. You ought to put that one on the refrigerator. Huh? Proverbs 26 and 20. Where there is no wood, there is no fire. Nothing flammable, then it won't catch on fire. That's what he says. Yeah. And he goes on and tells us in that passage, he says, he says, as coals are burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. He says, verse 22, the words of a talebearer are as wounds that go down into the innermost part of the belly. Well, they informed Nebuchadnezzar. Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego will not bow down. Notice, I'm going to jump down a little bit, verse 13. Nebuchadnezzar, he was furious. He commanded that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to come in before him. And we notice that they're asked. Hey, he spake and said unto them, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, verse 14. Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up. Now, notice their response. See, I think it's important for us to speak out against wrong. We've been way too silent. I was studying this past week about why this country is a Christian nation. You know why this country was founded on Christian principles? Because Christians spoke out. They saw to it that it was in the declarations of different colonies. The Massachusetts colony, the Delaware colony, the Virginia colony. They saw to it that Christ Jesus was put in those documents. They saw to it that this country was founded not on Muhammad, but on Jesus. You know, they weren't afraid to say it. The politicians during that day, you know, it's amazing. I mean, they put it in the documents. Not just God general. No! The Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now that's important. The Son of the living God. Our forefathers spoke out. And it's time we start speaking up too. Now, let me point something out. The church has always had confrontation. The truth has always had confrontation with evil, with falsehood. You know what the problem is today? We don't want to be uncomfortable. We're afraid of the fiery furnace. Listen, if you stand up for the Lord, you're going to suffer some kind of persecution. That's what the New Testament teaches. Yeah. Those that live godly in Christ Jesus on occasion, possibly might, is that what it says? Suffer persecution. Have you read that? Those that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Know what it says? We're too afraid of the fiery furnace. We're afraid of losing some political position or some position among our friends, or we're afraid to lose some kind of position in our workplaces and so forth. But these men were strong. Notice, they said, we will not bow. We know the story. Even if God doesn't deliver us, we will not bow. And notice that they said, look, we're not anxious. Verse 16, we're not careful to answer thee in this matter. In other words, they were saying, look, there's only one way to answer you. We're not really shocked or alarmed or anxious about answering you. The answer to the question is clear for us. You know, they didn't have to call their pastor and deliberate with him. They didn't have to call Daniel and say, Daniel, what should we do? Should we bow down? You know, they didn't have to go to a church conference. They didn't check with the opinion of others. They knew the answer. It wasn't hard for them. Listen, if we'll develop strong convictions, the answer will be easy. I'm not troubled about answering you concerning this. They stood before the king and said, Nebuchadnezzar, we can't do it. It's wrong. It's wrong. It's wrong. It's wrong. Yeah. They weren't wishy-washy about it. They weren't flip-flopping back and forth. I'm not anxious about answering you about this because it's easy for me to answer you because my convictions are firm. Victory Church, listen to me. Let's make sure we stay true to our convictions. And the answer will always be easy. Huh? It'd be easy to answer when we have strong convictions. Young people, listen to me. Develop convictions and stay with them all of your life. Stay true to who you are and how you were raised, the truth that you've been brought up under. These men held strong convictions. They were convictions that shaped their character. It controlled their thinking. And you know, that's the one thing that's needed to transform a nation. People being changed, and not only changed, but having strong convictions about the truth. Did it change the nation? Well, let's read on down a little bit. Of course, we know about them being thrown into the fire. And you know, there are some things some blessings that these three men received by being thrown into the fire. One is, the Lord showed up. You know, listen, if you stand up for the Lord will stand by you. The Lord showed up, came and walked with them in the fiery furnace. He loosened their bounds. Listen, if you'll stand up for the Lord, you'll have fellowship with him. And isn't that the important thing? Not only will you have fellowship, but you'll have freedom. Listen, if you'll always tell the truth and do the right thing, you'll be free. You know what'll shackle you faster than anything else? Lies, deception, and dishonesty. You'll suddenly be bound. You know, but just being true to your convictions and doing what's right, you'll be freed. Not only will you have freedom, but you have fellowship. And they found that fellowship and that freedom in the midst of the fiery furnace. The whole nation was affected by this. As we read in the last part of this third chapter, and I'm going to read all this, but I'm going to try to close. You know, Paul said, we've had help in the past. We've got help in the present. 2 Corinthians 1 and 9. And he said, you know, we're going to be delivered in the future. He said, I had the sentence of death on me, and the Lord delivered me. And he'll deliver me in the future. And it's not that hard. You don't have to be super intelligent to do the right thing. To stand for what's right. To make a difference. This country was built on people who just simply had strong convictions about God, about what was right and wrong, about morals, about the commandments of God and the truth of God. And we need that in our country today. They stood for what was right. And notice the decree, verse 29, that was made. It transformed this nation. Listen, we can transform, maybe not the nation at large, but we could transform this community by doing what's right. Amen? Doing what's right is contagious. Standing up for what's right will influence others. Listen, you are influencing someone. Somebody is being influenced by your life. People are watching you. Parents, let me tell you this. Your children are watching you. They will determine whether or not your God is the true God, not based upon your church nor your pastor. It'll be based upon how you live before him. Think about that. The greatest influence in our children's lives is not the school system, nor the church, but the parent. And that's biblical. Let's read this last verse. Notice what he decrees. He saw four down in the fire. I believe Jesus showed up, amen, delivered them. They came out. Man, they didn't have smoke on them. They didn't even smell the smoke. You know. I mean, somebody go out and smoke a cigarette and come back in, they smell like smoke. I mean, they were thrown into a fiery furnace that was heated seven times hotter than it should have been, that destroyed the men that threw them in, mighty men that had cast them into that furnace, and they came out and there was not even the smell of smoke on them. Wow. Their hair was not singed. Listen, if you'll stand up for the Lord, he'll take care of you. He will guard you. He will protect you. I believe that the Lord Jesus, down through the centuries of time, has protected the church that has stood up for his truth. Amen. And he'll protect us if we stay true to the word of God. Notice he says, I make a decree that every people, nation, language would speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver this way. Amen? Amen. Amen. Hopefully our nation one day. Now, Nebuchadnezzar flip-flopped back again. You know, he was tall, one of those tossed to and fro, and with the times and with the winds and doctrines. But we need to be consistent in the good times and the bad times. Amen? Let's be consistent. I appreciate your attention. God bless you is my prayer. I really think it's important for our young people in the next generation to see us able to handle a little ridicule. They ought to see us handle some ridicule for standing up for the truth, and that we're not afraid. We're not afraid to do what's right.